Welcome to Successfully Unsigned, where we offer professional advice for unprofessionals trying to make their mark in the music industry. Whether you're an unsigned artist, a DIY musician, or just starting out, this show is for you. Hosted by David, Patrick, and Dale, this show is all about real conversations, practical insights, and spotlighting independent artists and industry voices you maybe haven't heard yet, but definitely should. Catch every episode on YouTube, your favorite streaming platform, and now on Patreon, where you can support the show and get exclusive content to help level up your music career. Welcome to Successfully Unsigned. It is me and DJ Overheat back here in my studio, and Patrick is once again away on tour. This man is gone all the time now.
He's busy.
Doing wonderful things. He's out with LOL It's Leah.
Yeah.
For the second time. And he was here for like maybe a week.
Yeah.
After being out with Don.
I was confused. Yeah, he was here and he's gone again. So he's a busy man.
He's killing it out on the road.
He looks like he's having fun though.
And he's it seems like he's having a blast. He's helping with merch for these artists on these tours. And man, it's so much fun to see everything that he does with these bands out on the road. So if you want to follow him, you can go find him on Instagram. We're going to have that link down below. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us. He's been sharing a lot of these clips from the shows and the sets that they perform on our Instagram, on the stories as well. Mm-hmm. And again, they're doing some really cool stuff. These are all artists that we've had on our show.
Right.
And it's cool to see that kind of mesh.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it just proves we're making connections here, guys. And if you want to be a part of it, come on. Get on the show. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to build these relationships that we've been so blessed and lucky to build. On these tours, so
absolutely, and even outside of just that, I mean, we stay connected with our artists a lot. In fact, David here just recently played a show with one of the artists that you are going to hear more from tonight. Mm-hmm. Who is? I was going to pass it to you.
Oh,
there.
Billy Ray Wallace. I went brain dead for a second. I was like, wait, are you talking about who I played on the stage with? But no, I played the show with him. Yeah, Billy Ray Wallace. He's a blues artist, R&B artist. He's killing it and just very lucky to share the stage with him that night. He did great, and I can't wait for you guys to hear his interview. He's awesome. So,
and we'll be getting into that here in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's talk about some music business news and what's going on currently.
Yeah.
In the music industry, there's kind of some, I mean, there's always something big, right?
There's some spicy AI going
on. There's some
on.
Spicy AI.
You guys, this AI stuff is getting crazy. I don't know if y'all been following this, but it's this whole thing with Timbaland.
Yeah.
Catch him up.
Let's unpack that. So I've got a little news article here because I'm not going to remember all the facts. Mm-hmm. But Timbaland just launched a company called Stage Zero.
Yep. You may be seeing ads for it like on TikTok and stuff. That's where I saw it. So
before we get into it, let us know right now what you're currently thinking down in the comments. And then if your opinion changes or if you've learned something new after we've discussed this, let us know what has changed in your mind and why.
Yeah.
Do you support it? Do you like it? Mm-hmm. Do you think it's viable for the future? Mm-hmm. Do you think it's something that's going to bring everybody down?
Yeah.
Do you not like it? Like, what is your opinion? Because I know there's going to be people, and obviously there is people on both sides of the fence of this.
Right.
You know, a lot of small artists currently don't like it. And, you know, maybe with reason.
Yeah.
But then there's also a lot of business opportunity. I've heard people comparing it, like the whole AI movement, and we'll get into the specific stuff with Timbaland.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard some people comparing the whole AI movement to, like, when synths were first coming into play and people going from, say, like, oh, we always had organic real string players to now we have synth strings or we have synth horns or we have synth whatever, right? I've heard some interesting comparisons to that. And I'm like,
well, at least then you're still choosing what it plays.
It's true.
With AI, it's like, you know, we'll get into it.
You still got to play the notes.
But Timbaland's AI artist, Tata.
Yeah.
His first AI artist.
I hate the name, man. Right off the gate.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's rough. But here's his quote. He said, "She's not an avatar. She is not a character. Tata is a living, learning, autonomous music artist
built with AI. Tata is the start of something bigger. She's the first artist of a new generation. A-pop is the next cultural evolution, and Tata is its first icon. What a statement.
Yeah.
What a statement. What's your initial, like, gut reaction? Good or bad?
I have a lot of respect for Timbaland and his music. So it's like, I know he knows what sounds good. I don't know if this is just him going through a little phase of, like, he's always been the type of producer that's been on the brink of something. Mm-hmm. He's always been ahead of the game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when he first started doing collabs with Timberlake and, you know, Brand New and Attitude and, you know, Nelly Furtado. Like, is that her name? Nelly Furtado? She's like a... I'm like a bird. And a
yeah.
Like those songs?
I don't know how to say the name, but yeah.
But he had this really cool way of doing his kicks that were, like, catchy. Like, they were, like, very reverberant and just kind of, like, spacious. And it's, like, the way he produced a lot of his stuff was, like, cutting edge at that time. And so, like, I trust... when he's onto something, that it's usually in the right direction. The thing that worries me is, like, this is adapting really quick. You know, like, AI is constantly changing and it's constantly adapting. It's constantly learning. It's like, can we keep up with that in the music industry? Because we're good at adapting, or some of us aren't in the music industry, but we kind of have to be with, you know, the streaming emerging and all of that. Mm-hmm. We've handled that relatively well, but this is a whole new beast to me. With AI artists, it's, I don't know, what do you think his goal, his main argument is for this?
His main argument, I don't really know, other than it's a business thing, right?
Yeah, he's cashing in.
You cash in, and I don't know, I'm a bit of the mind myself that whether we like it or not, in art and in music, AI is probably here to stay. I don't really see it going back the other way, up the pipeline. So as an artist, as a producer, as a whatever, you know, find a way to use it to the best of your advantage. Yeah. Find a way to use it responsibly. You know, don't use it as a cop-out and don't do art, right? But if it's going to be here regardless, we can fight it, but that may not do much good to stand and fight it directly. But if you can find a way to add it to your workflow and do interesting and cool things,
that's
using
where it's going.
It as a tool, as an instrument of itself.
Yes.
Now, that being said, Timbaland is making a whole artist, and it is the whole thing. Another quote that's made by someone associated with the project said, "The artists of tomorrow won't just be human. They'll be IP, code, and robotics that are fully autonomous."
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're building at Stage Zero.
There'll be a whole other set of IP to copyright. Like, it's just...
It's
a lot.
It's a lot. I'm not a fan of it being an artist. I mean, what's the point of art but to express human emotion, express humanity?
Right.
And if we take humanity out of the art, I mean, that's a conversation a lot of people have had.
Yeah.
It's not brand new to us here, but... Mm-hmm. You lose out on the purpose of art in the first place, in my opinion, when that's the entirety of it. Again, using it as a tool, it's no different than using an instrument and saying, oh, well, that instrument doesn't say words. You know, my guitar can't literally speak.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, like, there's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, you can still express yourself versus letting something else completely generate the expression for you.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of it's for promotion too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's his main thing, is it's like, this is, you know, Mickey Mouse is an AI character, you know, like Donald Duck's an AI character or whatever. But so why can't we do this in the music industry too? Why can't this artist be a means to promote his product, which is this new app? And so I don't know. We'll see how it works out, but you're right. You can't fight it. Like, you have to go with the flow on this one, because it's not going to go away. Mm-mm. It's not going to slow down. it's going to continue to evolve and get more and more complex. And it's going to force artists to really rethink how they market and how they, you know, utilize their songs, you know. So,
but with that, again, figure out how to work it into your workflow without it being your work, right?
Yes.
Don't. I was having a conversation with a very successful producer engineer here in town just this last week, and AI came up, and you know, he was saying, he's like, yeah, I have people coming to me saying, "Ooh, I wrote this song. You know, can I pitch it? You know, can you cut it? Whatever." And they didn't write that song.
Yeah.
AI wrote that song. Now they typed in the prompt, give me a song, you know, but they didn't write that song. So who owns that?
Yeah.
How does copyright ownership now work with something that you didn't make, but maybe you're claiming you made?
Yeah.
You know, and so you have all that kind of stuff. And he brought up some interesting points about like the demo field. AI can make some amazing demos. Have you heard some of the music that's come out of it?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you write a song. You know, you wrote the lyrics, you wrote the chord progression, you wrote, you know, you got a vocal and a guitar or a piano or whatever. And you can put that into AI engines and tell it, hey, make this, you know, take this song, make me a demo, and make it country, make it pop, make it whatever. And it'll bring out something that's...
Well, that's
pretty good.
That's the issue, and you guys weigh in on this, please. It's part of the issue now. We had talked about, I think, on the last episode briefly, or maybe we didn't touch on this, but SoundCloud is having a controversy now because they were using, or they were accused of using people's music to train their AI, and people were worried that, you know, there's no consent with that. It's like, is it okay for people to just use your music to train these new forms of entertainment without your consent and without notifying you? Or like they had changed their terms to where that was in there and they just kind of tried to sneak it in there a little bit for people that they just wouldn't read it and whatever. But could you foresee that being an issue?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there are people that are still like very against it, and like if you use my song to train your AI that ends up being that ends up blowing up and it's based off my thing, I should be entitled to some of that.
Absolutely, because you're the songwriter.
Right.
It's just the same as like using writing a song and being sued for making a derivative work. Right? You have a song Running It Back. If I wrote a song Running It Forward and use the same chord progressions and, you know, have almost the exact same lyrics, and you decide to sue me, rightfully so, what's going to happen?
I'm just going to sue you for the name.
That's should, but, you know, rightfully so.
Yeah.
It's going to go to court, and I'll argue whatever I argue, but at the end of the day, if it's that blatant, they're going to say, oh, I made a derivative work without permission.
Right.
And guess what? Now I owe you all kind of money. It's a little... It'll be interesting to see how they'll prove that with AI.
Yeah. Different is it?
How different is it?
You know, because like the thing about AI right now is it's not super different. Like, you know, there's a few things in there, but it's still, you can still tell, like if it's based on something, it's still pretty close to that one thing.
Yeah.
But soon it's going to learn how to be derivative enough to avoid that.
Sure.
But, I mean, I don't know, man. It's scary stuff.
And that brings up the interesting topic, too, of, like, AI, whether it's the music stuff or whether it's ChatGPT or whatever, all it is basically just, like, a really fast search engine that takes things from other things, right? It's not creating something brand new of its own. It doesn't really experiment. It takes different things and pieces them together in a way that is... seems like it would fit based off the common denominators that it finds or that you tell it to look for.
Right.
And so that raises the question of, is it ever going to be, well, is it good? Unfortunately, it's good.
It is good.
And, you know, there's people that I was reading articles on saying that they project probably half of the top 40 before long is going to be AI generated music in a handful of years. But will it ever be considered great? Will it ever be another Abbey Road? You know, that was so full of experimentation. Or what's the Beach Boys album? Pet Sounds?
Yeah.
You know, that album was a direct response, if I'm not mistaken, to like Abbey Road.
Yeah.
And there was so much experimentation that went into that. And that whole thing would not have happened. Now, it's also, to an extent, leaning on something else that's already been created.
Yeah.
Because we as humans do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, well, let's take what we know and do it completely different. Can AI do that?
No, I think it's gonna be ebb and flow, like everything. Like things go into style and they come out. So I think it's gonna swing towards AI because it's new, and then people will get sick of it just being AI and they'll be able to tell the difference, and then we'll start being original again, and then we'll find a way to merge the two.
That's a good take.
So I think that's just the way music is. It's like taste constantly changes. Like what's a trends constantly change. So it's never just going to be like AI takes over for years at a time. It's going to be maybe a few years of AI generated stuff. And then it's like, okay, and then an album's going to come out. It's like, oh, you did that completely without AI. Whoa. Like, and then we're going to go back to that. You know,
we're going to clip this and play this in 10 years or
prophecy.
8 years.
Prophecy.
And see if it happens.
Yeah. Agreed. It will.
Y'all heard it here first. What's today's date?
It is the 11th.
June 11th, 2025.
June 11th, baby. You heard it here.
You heard it here.
Unsuccessfully Unsigned.
So before we go over and hear this great interview with Billy, I have one last question for you.
Sure.
It touches on what you just brought up.
Sure.
Currently in the pop and R&B sphere, all the sounds are like throwback to the 80s. Like so heavily 80s inspired.
Mm.
What do you think is going to be the next era or thing that it becomes popular again? It's a pullback from something else. 90s. What do you think is next? You think it's 90s? You think we're just going to move up? What part of the 90s? Or like what slice of music?
I think like late 90s. Like sort of the beginnings of like the pop era.
Okay.
You know, I think is going to come back.
You're talking about like the boy band stuff?
Not necessarily boy band stuff, but more like ballad love songs like that are going to start to come back.
Okay.
I feel like.
Okay. I'm blanking on some specific songs. What are you thinking?
Like, you know, the Backstreet Boys, like I Want It That Way type.
Okay.
Acoustic guitar, like ballads. I think those will come back at some point, but with it'll still have that like indie twist to it. I think it'll always have a little indie twist to it. You know, even the 80s stuff right now, it's still.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a little something to it. That's different.
Right. It's not a carbon copies of the 80s.
Right. It's like the mullets that kids walk around with now are not like the 80s, but they really try hard to be.
They do.
And I think it'll be similar with the late 90s stuff. Because it's just, I feel like we get away from an era and then we go back to it for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And like experiment in it and find new things. And then we leave it. And then we come back. And it's just a recycling of it.
Okay.
So, or 70s. Or we could go back an era.
Do you think, that's from like,
and
I
disco
don't know.
Could come back. And like.
Disco does have a little bit of a comeback.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've listened to any like. There's some really great smaller artists that I've heard that I'm like, this sounds very...
R&B's making a push. I mean, R&B and like that kind of pop is really...
Because
a lot of people's influence, you know, that Stevie Wonder's and, you know...
Some Earth, Wind & Fire even.
The Motown of the world and Earth, Wind & Fire and, you know, all those bands are... They're starting to... Because, I mean, even the Earth, Wind & Fire, they're 80s. I mean... what's that one band that does the early in the morning? Dun, 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 dun. Oh my God. The Gap Band.
Oh yeah,
they're 80s, and I mean that's those sounds. They're starting to come up again, so I wouldn't be surprised if we went back a decade or forward a decade.
Okay, so if you had to pick one last thing before we go,
I'd say
forward or back.
Now I'm thinking more back.
Running it forward or running it back?
Running it back.
Running it back.
I got to be consistent now. Yeah. So
you heard him.
There
He's
go.
Going 70s. I guess I'll take the 90s. Then.
There you
we'll
go.
See who's right. Thank you for hanging out with us so far. We're about to go and talk with Billy and have this great, great interview. And also, don't forget, this Friday we have some exclusive live in-studio performances from him. There is the live in-studio performance, which you'll find here on YouTube, as well as the exclusive one on our Patreon. You can also find a secret second half to his interview where we go even deeper with Billy, also on our Patreon tonight. So thanks for hanging out with us. Let's go talk to Billy.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Have you ever found yourself slaving away at creating a track and trying to master a certain section of the song, but you just can't seem to get it? The solution may be simpler than you think, because the truth is, sleep is essential for improved performance and muscle memory. The brain region above the motor cortex, which is responsible for motor skills, actually increases activity during sleep. If you don't believe me, try taking a nap. Not right now, but try taking a nap, and then when you wake up, pick up your instrument and see if your performance doesn't improve just a little bit. So conversely, a lack of sleep can negatively impact your performance potential, leading to mistakes, poor tone, or in some cases, even injury. So before you do 807 takes of that one guitar riff on that one song and put your poor engineer through all that at 1 a.m., get a good night's rest. For more tips like this, follow us everywhere at Successfully Unsigned or visit our website at su-podcast.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Successfully Unsigned. This is DJ Overheat. We got Patty G with us. We got Dale behind the camera, Dale Shack. And our guest today is Mr. Billy Ray Wallace. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Howdy. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, dude.
It has. I've been... How long y'all been doing this now?
Since October 2022.
Yeah. Whenever he says 2022, it's always like, oh my goodness,
I can't believe it.
That's how long I wish I wouldn't have asked, because now I'm like,
yeah, now we feel old. Yeah. Well, I mean, you and me met. Was it the Cobra show you and I met?
Yeah.
And we have a mutual friend in Luke Robbins, also a friend of the show.
Go check out our interview with him.
Yeah. Yes. Go check out his interview and his music as well. But he's a wild dude, which we'll probably get into him a little bit later. But I'm finally glad to have you on. I know, like, when we played the show together, I was like, I got to get this guy on, because your music, I've always found it just so unique to, like, it's blues, soul type of music. And I think that's so important, especially in Nashville, where it's all country and it's like, we need different types of genres.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Like, to get started off, how did you get started with that style, and how did you kind of develop your taste?
So here, we'll just go all the way back from my earliest, memories of it. So my parents are split. Just so you know.
It won't
make more sense as I go. But my parents are split, and my mom and my dad would come pick me up for visitation on each side.
Yeah. Right?
And their music choice is entirely different, right? And they lived about 20-30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So, and this was like my first like time listening to music and like really taking it in. I'm like six, you know.
Yeah.
Go with my dad. He has Boston, ELO, all the country guys in. Go with my mom. She has Eric Clapton. She has John Mayer, Where the Light Is, right? So I had, and you know, and this changes just through the years.
Your mom?
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So
you meet your mom.
Yeah. She's great. And Stevie Ray Vaughan, just the whole, like, my mom was all that blues stuff. And my dad was, he's not a musician, can't sing, can't anything, you know, he can't tap his foot on beat, you know, but he can appreciate good music and listens to good music. And so I'm getting both sides of it. And my mom had that Where the Light Is thing. And it changed my life entirely. So I went from listening to that, like looking forward to her, like coming and picking me up so I could listen to that, because she wouldn't let me take it out of the car because she liked it so much too. So I was like, okay. And then she was wondering, why the hell does Billy want to go on car rides all the time? But okay, whatever. And, you know, but I fell in love with that. And then I got my first guitar around the age of 8.
Yeah.
And then all of that kind of put into motion. And then from there, I liked his music a lot, and I didn't realize what it was about it that I liked, as we're all, you know, young musicians and trying to figure it out. I traced it back on. I looked into his influences. I'm like, okay. I looked into Stevie Ray Vaughan. I was like, this is dope.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, really cool. So I dove into that, and I'm like, what do I like about him? Then I dove into his influences. cool. Then I found Albert King. I found Jimi Hendrix. I found all of that. Then I dove into there, and then it just went all the way back to Robert Johnson.
Inception, yeah.
Right. So, and then, yeah. And then from there, I was like, I'm still missing a side of it. I didn't realize what it was. And then fast forward, I move here, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like here entirely like a blues guy. Like really, that's it, you know? And then through my time here, I find Alan Stone. I don't know if you know who Alan Stone is.
Yes.
I found him and I was like, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I did the same thing. I worked it backwards.
Yeah.
And I always knew who Stevie Wonder was, but I never like dove into his catalog.
Yes.
Dove into his catalog. I was like, soul music.
Yes.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
And then when I traced it back to the Mayer stuff, like the Still Feel Like Your Man and stuff like that, trying to figure out what that was, I was like, it's soul music. Then I dove down the soul music, and then that's how, long answer, but you know, that's how it like all circled.
I feel like it's all interconnected, you know. It's like a lot of it's gospel music too, like earlier gospel music that transforms into blues and soul. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of Motown feel, like that was for me, like the Motown stuff getting like how that bridged into blues. Like that was kind of my metamorphosis of those two things. But dude, like the Mayer and the Stevie Ray Vaughan, like you're so right. Like their influences stem right from that. Like,
yeah. And I didn't even, and you're talking about Motown and stuff. I really got into Michael Jackson before I got into any of this stuff too.
Yeah.
And that fell into the same, you know, especially when you're listening to like Jackson 5 and you're doing that. And then I fell into a Prince thing and I'm still kind of in my Prince thing. You know, that's, you know, now I'm like full throttle forward trying to make funk music.
Yeah.
And you know, like that's the stuff I'm writing now.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. That's what the new, the last song that came out, it was like me going, cool, I want to start doing funk music and like have more songs that are like under that category, you know. So
that's awesome, man, because that shows that you're trying to grow and you're trying to explore your genre and like expand your genre, which I think is so important, and a lot of artists that don't do that like really miss the benefits of that creatively.
Yeah.
So talk about like your creative process when you sit down to write a song. Like I know a lot of your songs have, you know, a lot of the major seven, minor seven feel to it.
It
gives it that sort of emotive element. But like, talk about like when you sit down, you're writing something, you know, what's your process?
Interesting.
I know that's that's a very broad question.
It is, but no song has ever been the same. So I don't have a process.
Okay.
There is, and to be honest, like I don't ever sit down and say, I'm going to write a song. Because if I do, nothing happens.
Right.
I can't force it.
Are you like a lyrics before music person, or are you, does it matter?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't. Like my song Everything, that is out.
Yeah.
I used to work at Nissan. Like back in like 2018 or something like that.
Yeah.
I wrote all the lyrics out in one take on a 15-minute break. And then I put in my notes on my phone and I put it back in my pocket. I forgot about it for about 3 months or whatever.
Right.
And then I was playing guitar and that riff, dun, 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 thing.
It's very catchy. Yeah.
Thank you. But it's actually, I got the idea from Clapton's Tears in Heaven.
Oh yeah.
So that it doesn't sound anything like it, but it's just like the hand placement.
Yeah, the rhythmic element of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all in the, and I was actually playing that riff when I came up with that riff.
Yeah.
But that's how that song was written. What You Trying to Do all came together in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that. And I had it. And it was lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, Why Do I started in 2010 and I finished in 2018.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gotta love those.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Think, there's no way this can be anything. And then 10 years later, this is something. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's one of my favorite ones.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really like that one.
I got a song called Call Me When You Care that I play live, isn't released, that I wrote about the same time and it was done in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I let it go. And now we play it. But, I truly believe that you let the music write itself. If you get in the way of the music, you're forcing it.
Yeah.
You know, There is a great interview talking about Michael Jackson. There's a great interview of him talking about that exact thing,
yes,
where it's like, don't write the music.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, whenever I can hear it in my head before I play it, and I play what is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least the closest thing I can say to it.
Yeah.
But then I'm on this weird thing of like, I don't even feel like I'm religious, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even feel like I wrote it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was like literally handed to me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So there's that. And then there's songs where it's like, yeah,
mm-hmm,
I worked for that.
Yeah.
I really worked for that. Mm-hmm. But short of that.
I feel like that makes sense though, like with the genre of just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of it is so kind of like instrumental heavy, like jam heavy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of makes sure like it just is very natural for it to come out versus like, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write this and I'm going to do this and I'm going
to
do this.
Yeah. First of all, where you had said you had moved to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Evansville, Indiana.
Indiana. Okay. Yeah. Got you. Why did you move out here? Just curious. Just for the music?
This, yeah.
Got you.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's so strange to me when I meet people like, cause I'm from here and they're like, I moved here for music. And I'm like, is it really that well known outside of for that?
Yeah.
Like, is it marketed to people as like the promised land of music? Like, I don't know. These are questions I have for people outside of Tennessee. I don't know.
Yeah. I can say from my perspective is, in my hometown, I was one of three guitar players. I was one of three.
What?
Let me preface. My graduating class had 64 kids in it.
Wow.
Very small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So yeah, still
small town boy.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you don't have that. You don't have anyone to play with. And then you start getting the big fish in a small pond thing.
Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and then you see yourself plateau because it's like there's not anything else to go from, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then you're just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make the biggest jump and change of your life on a whim and you tick off everybody.
Yeah.
When did you move here?
February of 2018.
Okay.
So that brings up another question I wanted to ask. How's your family with your music? Like, are they very supportive? Like, like your parents and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. And they're back in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I got me and my girlfriend are the only ones that are. Yeah.
Well, kudos to you, man, for coming out and giving it everything. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess you know you had mentioned the background vocalist, which he still that dude. Like, I hope I get to see him at another one of your shows because he was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah. But like, what talk about how that band came to be and like just that entire dynamic.
Which version?
Let's walk me through both.
I'll walk
you through both.
So originally Harrison, that's the name of that singer.
Okay.
Me and him started doing this thing where we'd go over to each other's place and we just jam.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then we found an app called Vamper.
Okay.
Okay. So we're like, let's see if we can get some people to play with. And we're not even thinking anything more or anything less.
Is this like Tinder for musicians?
Exactly.
Got you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, the exact thing. Like,
you, we need to get them to sponsor
you
us.
Sponsor us, yes.
Yeah, you heard Luke's version of this. I'm about to tell you the entire opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, because this is the same story. Like, you know, it's just from different perspectives.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and me and Harrison are playing, and we're like, we need more players. And we're just on there, you know, looking for people, swiping left, swiping right, really thinking this is weird as you're doing it. But
yeah,
like,
it's like an unspoken thing. Yeah.
But I'm like, I hope I got the right app, right?
Yeah.
But
software update, dang it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we find a bass player, James, who's my current bass player. And then
lovely fellow.
Yeah. And then we found Luke, who y'all are very aware of Luke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love Luke.
Yeah, and then there were so many other players in between there. For like about 3 or 4 months, we had 20 different players who just came in, and all of them slipped my mind. They were all great players, but it just didn't stick, or they didn't stay in town, or whatever happened, right? So Luke and James were the only ones who stuck. So we just started playing covers together in Harrison's house and just, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I worked at Sam Ash at the time and I knew a guy who played drums because I'm in a music store.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Of course.
Yeah. And anyway, get him playing with us. And then for some reason, I can't even remember what exactly it was. Harrison had something going on. He's like, hey, I'm going to, because we were rehearsing every week.
Right.
Like, he even got to the point where we were calling it rehearsals. I don't know what our game plan was, but we were jamming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to step away, and I was like, okay. And I had already released Why Do I? And mm-hmm. I knew I was going to do this. I just didn't know how it was going to form. And then after that, I got with David Keane, who was our original drummer.
Yeah.
And James and Luke. And I got them together. I was like, hey, I got this catalog of songs I've been wanting to play out here forever. You want to do it? And they were so on board because mm-hmm. I wanted to play live, and I wanted to play live a year ago.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then we just did. And so we had that group, the ones that you guys saw at the Cobra 5 spot.
Yeah.
We had that group for a while. And then just over time, David left for certain reasons. And then we got a other player, Jaron Eaton.
Jaron, yeah, that's yeah, I met Jaron.
Yeah, and he actually just played the Grand Ole Opry.
Really?
Like 2 days ago. Yeah.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. Shout out Jaron.
Shout out to Jaron. Yeah.
But he's a guitar player too. It was funny. Yeah. While he was in the band, we would say he's the best musician in the band. Like, he could play guitar better than me.
He
could play drums better. He can play bass better. You know, it's just like, and he was a I never heard him like really, I've heard him sing, but not like actually like, you know, there's a difference between singing and singing.
Right. Of course.
But I hadn't really heard him do that, but I'm sure, you know, but it got to a point where he was like, hey, I am kind of chasing after this other thing, and I just don't have time.
Yeah.
Because he was playing in Luke's band, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was that's right. Both. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
We literally had mm-hmm. the same band. Like, you know, and we just threw someone's logo on it. And, yeah. You know, and then we went and played those songs. And then he had to leave. But I also had a guitar player named Chase Bachman, mm-hmm. who was with me for about a year. And he's still my boy. And I miss him dearly. But he works at 1230 Club.
Oh.
Yeah, and he got promoted. And
that's Timberlake's place, right?
Yeah. And then he just had no time. And he's like, I have to bow out. And mm-hmm. I cried, me that and stinks. Luke.
Yeah.
Like, we had like a big meeting. Like, he held it. He said, hey, I got a dip. And then Luke was just silent the whole time.
Life
and,
be life. Everybody.
Well, oh. and like, I'm not saying anything no one else in our band doesn't know is true. Mm-hmm. In my side of the band, Chase was not as beneficial in my band as he was Luke's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he was held down a lot of Luke's sound, you know, like,
really?
We've been trying to fill that void of him for a while now. And he left after that, and Luke didn't say anything during that meeting. I call him and I'm like, you good? And he's just like, no. He's like, no. He's like,
just broke my heart.
Yeah, like straight up. No, like that kind of conversation. Yeah. And, you know, ugh. But yeah, it was trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough time. But, and then, so then we went back to the band with Jaron, and Jaron eventually left.
Mm-hmm.
I found, and I lost a guitar player too. So at some point I had just James and just Luke again, mm-hmm. you know. I was like, okay. I was like, I'm going to start looking for drummers and another guitar player too.
Yeah.
Got back on Vamper. Boom. You know.
Immediately. Yeah.
And then I got my current guy, CJ Tishner. Mm-hmm. CJ, forgive me if I pronounce that wrong. I butcher it every time. I think I got it. It's the scariest thing. When I'm on stage, I do like band like shout outs to like them.
Yeah.
I like stop on his name. I like pull from the mic.
What is it again?
I pull from the mic and I like say it to myself. Tishner.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, say it out, and just because I butchered it so much. And, you know, but CJ, he's great. He's killing it. He's doing everything I need him to do.
Yeah.
And my new drummer, Michael Webb, who was a find through CJ. CJ brought him in for me.
Okay. It's always nice.
Yeah. And then he's, honestly, he pulled my songs together faster than I've ever seen anyone pull my songs together. Mm-hmm. I sent him my Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
He had it done in a week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
There we go.
Let's book it. You want to play this gig? Yeah. You know? And yeah. And then that's kind of how that came. And then now my current band is that. The only difference is I pulled Harrison back.
Right.
So.
Right.
Can you talk about, I love that something to me that I think is so important for bands is to like have a cohesive look. And I would say out of probably all the bands I've seen perform, yeah. I love like you yep. get all of your guys to dress up in suits and sunglasses.
Yeah.
And it makes a statement. Yeah. And that is something I really appreciate about an artist. So can you talk about like
the for sure.
idea behind that?
I'd love to. And you know what's funny is I watched one of your episodes way back and you guys were talking to, I can't even remember who the artist was. And I remember you said something about that. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Someone like that's actually a thing. Someone notices. Yeah.
Yes.
We put a lot into
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. So the origin behind it was the 5-spot gig. Okay.
Where
you guys saw
me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Me and Luke were playing the same bill. We're using the same band. Right. So the biggest thing that me and him had, our fears were, was someone would approach me and said, I love your song. I hate you. I love you. And my biggest fear and vice versa was someone approach him and says, I love your song. Why do I? We're like, okay.
Yeah.
So we got to figure something out.
Yeah.
And then we're like, what if we wear suits for mine and we just go casual for yours?
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah.
And then we just never have not played without suits. Number one, the thing that it does for your confidence, when you're suited and booted up there, your head just goes, just gets so big and you need it to, you know, and it just, you feel like you're on top of the world, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. And then you're on a decent stage on top of it. It's like,
No, I really am glad you did that just cause like I'm someone who's very much about like presentation, especially when it comes to like artists that I watch. I'm like, if you get up there and like, I want you to like present a look and it makes a statement. Yeah. So good on y'all for doing
that. Thank you. We were trying to figure that out for a while, like what that was, like what to do. Cause we wanted to have that. And then the suits playing funk, soul and blues music. So it's like, it just fits right into the role.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fun. And now anytime I bring in somebody new, I'm like, you got a suit?
Yeah. Got a blazer?
You got a suit? You're like, and they're like, I don't have a jacket. I got a jacket. Come on. You know, it's like,
That's awesome. I agree. I think the fashion stuff is definitely, it takes it to another level for sure.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up some of your releases.
Sure.
And talk about some of those before we get out of here. Why Do I? We mentioned that a couple of times.
Yeah.
Back in 2022, you released that.
Yeah.
It gives me sort of like indie movie vibes, like the dance at the indie movie, like you know, so like what it like, talk about, because that was like an earlier one that you did, that was like your first one that you put on Spotify and everything, like what gave you the confidence to say
there's a music video for that too?
There is, yeah. And what gave you the confidence to just get that one out there and be like, this is the first one I'm gonna do a music video for, put out on my Spotify? Like, what was it about that one to you?
At the time, it was, and I don't even know if I was right, but at the time, it was what I felt to be my best. And that was really it. And it was already recorded because I was messing around with it and trying to get it right. And it also meant a lot. We'll just get into the song.
Yeah.
The song is about me continuously going back to somebody after they've really wronged me over and over again. So it's a question. Why do I do this to myself?
Yeah.
Why do I let you do this? Why do I, you know, that's what it is. And it really hit home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nothing speaks, especially in 2022, nothing spoke more to me in that time other than that song.
Yeah. And I like that it's kind of like a ballad feel too.
Yeah.
So it just kind of sways back and forth and it's very calming. Even just like the two chords, it just, the way it's composed. I really love that one. Everything, 2024. That one, I feel like that's a great like crowd pleaser like an opener, like,
yeah.
And usually, don't you start with that one? Usually,
I used to. Yeah. I'm kind of sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. We tried, after this last gig, I figured out that everything probably needs to be my always opener.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's hard to beat.
That riff is a banger at the beginning.
Yeah. Especially when we hit it right. Uh-huh. You know, right on stage, I always turn as I'm playing that. Yeah. The intro of it before the band comes in, I tell them, make it big.
Yeah.
Make it big. I say it every time.
Yeah.
Make it big.
And it is.
Yeah.
It's big and bright.
Yeah. That song is, I moved to Nashville for a lot of reasons. One was music. Another one was I was heartbroken and I was getting away from something there.
Yeah.
And so I'm running from myself too. And that's about what that was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know it from the tone of the song. That's for sure. It's like, cause it's so like happy and bright and, but it does give you that sort of like, I'm moving on like new era sort of.
I like
new face sort of vibes.
I like the idea of taking happy sounding songs, putting depressing stuff underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
we talked about that with our other artists too. It's a very popular thing to do. I like doing that as well. Yeah. It kind of also gave me like Dave Matthews vibes too.
You know, I've heard
a little bit.
That, man, I've heard so many people say something to me like, "You listen to Dave Matthews?" I'm like, I know two songs by him.
Yeah.
I've just never dove into it. Now, granted, every time I like, you know, put on like this is Dave Matthews Band or whatever and just go through it, I like it. But for some reason, I haven't matured enough to listen to his music.
Right.
It's the way like my taste hasn't went there yet.
Yeah.
But you know, getting it. It's just,
Right. So next is Playing Hard to Get.
Yeah.
That one was also released last year, yes?
Yeah.
Talk about that one. It's a very rhythmic song to me. Like, I love, like, your, like, offbeat things that you do in there musically, but talk about it, like, lyrically, what the concept was, all of those things.
So I had a buddy of mine, and I typically say this at gigs, too, is I had a buddy of mine, we're at a bar, and this was... The event happened in probably 2018, right? That made me write the song.
Yeah.
And he is just trying to go talk to girls, right? As people do in bars. And he's just falling on his face over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. It's like, it's
always is.
It's so painful to watch.
Dale knows that, right? Yeah. Dale? I did that because he can't defend himself.
And I told him, I was like, bro, you got to play hard to get. You got to do. And then I said it and I like stopped. Phone. Yeah. And then I just put it there and I just stared at it. I was like, okay. And I let it go for years.
Yeah.
And then fast forward COVID, I'm bored out of my mind and I'm like going through my notes. I'm like, that's a cool idea. And then I just started going.
Yeah.
And then that was during the same time that I was obsessing over Alan Stone. So, and that was my attempt to try to make something like that.
Okay.
The chord sequence is the chorus of that.
Yeah.
Is like straight a copy off of Brown Eyed Lover.
Yeah.
It's like,
I can hear it.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's, if you're influenced by it, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like it happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that one a lot. That one's, like I said, it's very rhythmic. It's got, and it kind of transitions well into the one that you just released this year, which is What You Trying to Do, which is, gives me like an 80s disco vibe.
Yeah.
And I know you said you're in your Prince phase right now.
Yeah.
So just talk about like this new funk transformation that you're going through and like how this song kind of contributes to that.
I just, as I like dove more into Stevie Wonder and I dove more into like Prince and I dove more into like even like James Brown and stuff like that. I was like, I really, in the riff that like what I play underneath it, you really don't hear it too heavily unless you're really listening for it. Just because the whole song's two chords, you know?
Yeah.
I was really in De Wolfpack there for a minute.
Oh, okay.
I was really into that Corey Wong kind of thing and I was like, I want something like that. And I was trying to write something in the style of something that he would do. And then that happened. And then, you know, it just, Yeah. Went from there. And then there is a sequence there at, I do it twice in the song, where it's like da 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 da, yeah, that thing.
Uh-huh.
So I got the idea from that, from a local band here.
Okay.
The name of them, shout out, Gears.
Gears.
Gears. I played with them multiple times. I worked with Chandler and Sam Ash, who's the lead singer. And they do a lot of like syncopated lines between the keyboardist, the bass player, and the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's cool. So, and they're like fast. Yeah. I was like, so, mm-hmm, yeah. So I got the idea from that.
Yeah. And I think it's like part of, I know part of the evolution for me, like with music, it's like you, sometimes you're in the mood to write these like ballady songs, but sometimes you just want to challenge yourself musically. Yeah. And I feel like you're that kind of guy of like, I want to do something rhythmically challenging. I want to do something that's going to be fun on stage and it's going to feel good. Like you want your music to make people feel good. You know what
the caveat to it is though?
What's that?
Then you got to play it. Then you gotta play it. Yeah. It's like you and challenge sing. Yourself and you do it. And then you get to the point and you're like, oh, now I got to play this.
Yeah. Just, and I can't mess up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, I can definitely feel like you're going to do great in that direction. I can feel that. But that's awesome that, you know, cause you're what, 4 years in to Nashville now? 4 or 5 years in?
Seven.
7 years in. Okay. Jeez. 7 years in. So I feel like, I mean, making progress, man, yeah, making progress. So
before Nashville needs more funk.
It does.
It does. I love like, country music. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love it. But, yeah, you don't want me up there singing right. Folsom Prison Blues. I promise you. You don't. Man, the amount of people who've told me, you should just do country. You should. No. You would do.
No.
I'm like,
no.
I'm like, I need you to go listen to my music. I need right. you to come back to right. me. It'd be like, you don't want me yeah. being up there.
The blazer won't fit
There's
with that.
There's a tear. Yeah. You don't want me no. doing that. Like, no. you know.
It's not even country anymore. No, I'm not going to get into it. But
we're on the yeah. same page.
No, yeah, exactly. And it's like, where's the niche for like what we do in Nashville? It's
yeah.
like, I think East Nashville is probably the closest it gets. You know, there's.
It's coming, though. Like, oh, the yeah. amount of like soul, mm-hmm. funk, blues stuff that I mean, the Underdog, you have
yeah.
Guthrie Trapp there mm-hmm. all the time. I think every Monday he plays there. Yeah. And he's killing.
You ever go to Rudy's Jazz Room in Nashville?
No, I've been what Flamingo a couple times.
Flamingo, Rudy's Jazz Room in the Gulch. Shout out! It's they have like obviously normal jazz standard stuff there, but they'll have like fusion bands there. They'll have R&B bands like. And you pay $10 and you go in there and you see an amazing show. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is incredible. And I'm like, I wish this would kind of spread
yeah.
elsewhere in yeah. Nashville. And I think you are sort of the star like of this wave of new artists coming in and like fighting back against the traditional country Nashville, Taylor Swift. You know, I'm not, just kidding. No Taylor Swift.
I feel
no
like that, I think that's our first Taylor Swift mention of, well, I guess we were only two episodes in.
I was trying not to do it.
But,
yeah.
Good on us.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we get out of here, just what are some things you're working on? Plug all your socials. You spoke of an opportunity that's coming up for you here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, just socials real quick.
Yeah.
Billy Ray Wallace Music. You can find me everywhere. You'll see my logo, and that's me. I got a website, BillyRayWallaceMusic.com. Mm-hmm. Try to make it simple.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. We'll have graphics. We'll make Dale work a little bit.
So me and Jason Bobo are putting together just a group of songs. He's the guy who did What You Trying to Do. We have another song coming out. I can say it because mm-hmm. It will be out by then. It's mm-hmm. called Just Can't Tell You No.
Ooh.
It is my... the craziest one that I play live. It's
right.
it's the one where it's Ooh. Extremely funky. It's really in your face.
Love that.
Yeah, it's about my girlfriend ticking me off, but and not. But so just for you guys to know, and whatever
yeah.
it, here uh-huh. in like the next couple of days, I'm gonna start promo yeah, on it sweet. Here soon.
Okay.
And it's going and like y'all are gonna see this like after the fact, uh-huh. but for like a good solid. Month, mm-hmm. well, not even month. Who knows? It's going to look like I'm losing my damn mind
right.
on social media. So it's just
that's like, how it's healthy. It's how it's supposed
like,
to be.
If anyone, if you follow me on social media, you've already seen the weird smileys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's about to get even way worse. We're about take the train and just yeet.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I'm actually going and recording another song tomorrow.
Awesome. So, wow. Yeah. Okay. And then you had spoke about an opportunity.
Plug Tone Central Station, East Nashville, right next to Grimey's record store.
Oh yeah, I know where that is.
Huge guitar store. Best guitar store in Nashville. I repeat, I'm not being bold. I'm just saying straight up. Best guitar store in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing their amp reviews. I am their amp guru,
amp man,
as they call it. you'll start seeing those in June. Todd Zilla and Jamie Jackson are the captains over there. Great music store. Go in there and just play. It's like, this is the guys who ran Sam Ash Music after Sam Ash went down. So you miss Sam Ash, you miss the experience, you miss the people. That's the place to go. You'll see old Sam Ash employees like myself who were there and hanging out. It's just a vibe, and that store is great, and I'll see you all over YouTube whenever that launches.
Got to get the smell of Sam Ash in there, too. There's nothing like the smell of Sam Ash. Just the new guitar smell is just
Tone Central Station is powered by and by, so like, you go in there. It's the cases from Sam Ash. It is the it's the trash can from Sam Ash. It's good. Like, I like literally the bags in there are from, it's literally Sam Ash, just because like this was the GM for Sam Ash for 20 years.
Yeah.
When liquidation happened. Right. And they're selling stuff like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And he knows he's about to go open a new music store. Yeah. He just takes as much as he can and puts it. So puts you go into there. It's just not red, black and white anymore. It's just a lot of purple.
A lot of purple. Okay. A little more purple. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, man, thanks for coming on. Like I said, we've been trying to get you on forever.
Yeah, man.
This concludes the YouTube portion of the interview. We'll have a little bit of bonus content on the Patreon. But thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, man. This means a lot. Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me.
Awesome. Until next time, we'll see you guys on the next episode. Follow us. Successfully unsigned.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. and this is what I've been doing for Tone Central Station. You got it. I'm on it. I'm on it.
Snap, too. Yeah. Like, subscribe, su-podcast.com. Got it. Didn't say it wrong that time. All the things, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. Love you guys. We'll see you next time.